You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Good Monday morning, everybody, and welcome into Locked On Balls. It's your team every day. I'm your host, Eric Kane, a radio personality here in Knoxville, Tennessee, a writer for the VolQuest.com website, and appreciate you guys hanging out, listening to me here today. You can listen each and every weekday morning, wherever you get your podcasts. It's Locked On Vols, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. BuiltBar.com, and use that promo code LOCK15. Let me try that again. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCK15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. Big thanks to Built Bar for helping us out here today. All right, so today's episode, a little baseball, a little basketball, a little football. Going to recap what Tennessee did on the baseball diamond against Vanderbilt, falling in the series 2-1, but an exciting and fun win on Saturday to force a rubber match on Sunday. Where exactly is this Tennessee baseball team now moving forward? We'll talk about that. In segment number two, we're going to look back. Tennessee basketball, we talked about it a couple days last week, but even after we recorded our final episode of the week, in preparation for Friday's show, even more basketball news that hit the pipelines in regarding John Fulkerson, and we'll talk about that here in segment number two. And finally, in segment number three, little Tennessee football. We'll touch base on a couple of things Josh Heupel said and give you an update on spring practice as we carry on out towards the Orange and White game that's coming up on Saturday. All that in store here today for a Locked On Vols episode. Guys, I appreciate it. Don't forget Twitter Tuesday. That's tomorrow. Get in your questions at underscore Kane or at Locked On Vols. I will spend all episode tomorrow answering them if I need to for Twitter Tuesday. So, were you at the baseball stadium this weekend? Were you at Lindsey Nelson Stadium? If you were, heard that environment was incredible. I listened to it on the radio. I watched it on television when I could. But I could hear, I could feel the atmosphere at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. And so could Tony Vitello. I think he said that post-game on Friday when Tennessee fell 5-0. But nonetheless, what do you think about this Tennessee baseball team now leaving this series? First time all season long Tennessee baseball has dropped a series. First time all season long has dropped an SEC series. And it comes at the hands of the number two Commodores of Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt is the cream of the crop in the SEC. Vanderbilt is the cream of the crop in college baseball. I know it's weird to say that Vanderbilt is the cream of the crop for anything other than academics, but just take a look up and down a Major League Baseball roster. Look how many of those guys come from Vanderbilt. Dansby Swanson, just to name one. David Price, just to name another one. I mean, there's countless others. So you knew this was going to be a big test. You knew that this was going to be a measuring stick. How big a boy are you? We talked about it before Tennessee headed into the Florida series. And then again against Vanderbilt. And Tennessee does come away losing a couple of lopsided affairs. 5-0 on Friday, 10-4 on Sunday. Tennessee did battle back and take the middle game of the three-game set, 8-4 on Saturday, and I know you guys have probably heard the story by now, but boy, was that a good one. Evan Russell, the story of the day, 3-for-3, 2 home runs, including 1 grand slam, 6 RBI. He walked once as well. Evan Russell had himself a day in Tennessee's 8-4 come-from-behind win. Evan Russell drove in all but 2 of Tennessee's 8 runs on Saturday, the other coming from Connor Pavloni and from Jake Rucker. Tennessee in Sunday's matinee took a quick 2-1 lead, or tied the ball game up 1-1, and then took a quick 2-1 lead off back-to-back home runs from Jake Rucker and Max Ferguson. But from there, it was all Vanderbilt. And Vanderbilt was able to use experience, to use depth, and to take the series from Tennessee 2-1. So where are you on Tennessee baseball right now? Of course, Tennessee baseball is much improved. Of course, Tennessee baseball is coached very, very well by Tony Vitello. Of course, Tennessee baseball still has a lot going for it. But this was for fighting rights and bragging rights in the SEC East, and really for to be, considered one of the top 4 teams in the SEC. So where are you on Tennessee baseball right now? I viewed these last 2 weekends as a measuring stick in terms of, okay, it's been good so far. I like what you've done. But what about moving forward? What can you do against the best of the best in the SEC? Well, the Florida series last weekend, check. You took that series 2-1. You won the Friday, you won the Saturday, and you came up short on Sunday. You survived a crazy 14-12 marathon game against Western Carolina in the midweek, and I think that's a big reason why Tennessee's had success the last couple seasons in turning this program around, is because it doesn't take days off in the midweek until it's to a point to where it can rest some of its starters. It picks challenging games in the midweek, really to challenge and to make this team better and to grow depth. But Tennessee falls 2-1 in this series against Vanderbilt. So my impression on where this team is it is well on its way. It's a good baseball team, but it's not there yet. In terms, don't hear me wrong, I mean, Tennessee baseball is certainly on everybody's schedule, circled on everybody's schedule, knowing that it's one of the better teams in the SEC, but is it one of the elite teams in the SEC? I would say it's not there yet. And keep in mind, too, SEC baseball is like SEC football, Big Ten football. I mean, you know, you've got the best of the best. You've got the best football players go and play football in the SEC. Same way in women's basketball and track and field. That's how it is here in softball. That's how it is here in baseball. The SEC has a number, several. I don't have it off the top of my head. Several. We'll see it tomorrow when it comes out or Tuesday. Several ranked teams coming from the SEC. Tennessee's there, but it's not elite yet. And I don't think it's far away from being just that. So it was fun on Saturday. Set up a fun, exciting rubber match. Of course, John Fulkerson, who we'll talk about in segment number two. He threw out the first pitch on Saturday. He was a part of the legends of Lindsey Nelson. You know, the student section, he was a part of that this series. And that was a whole lot of fun. But coming up just short, Tennessee, Kumar Walker, goodness gracious, had himself a gem on Friday. 7-inning pitch, no runs. He gave up only 2 hits. And then, of course, Jack Leiter, Tennessee got to him a little bit on Saturday. He didn't take the loss, but Tennessee was able to get 3 runs off of him, off 4 hits and 6 innings and a third. I mean, you talk about a .55 ERA, that's going to raise that ERA up, allowing 3 earned and 6.6 1/3 innings pitch. He still struck out 10. All right. And then Sunday, Tennessee just, you know, once you came and took that brief 2-1 lead, It really didn't have an answer for there. And though Vanderbilt doesn't have an answer for its rotation in terms of finding a Sunday starter, it was able to get 7 out of both Patrick Riley and Chris McLevane. And when you can do that in terms of some long relief and for some spot starts there to patch together a Sunday start, Vanderbilt's offense good enough to get by. It is what it is. Tennessee's a little disappointing, but if you're going to drop a series on the SEC to anybody, it's going to be Vanderbilt. I mean, that's just a matter of it is. And so, next up on the docket, Tennessee will have a midweek showing at home against Tennessee Tech. It'll travel to College Station against A&M next week. It'll host Lipscomb in the midweek the following week. It will host Kentucky April 29th through May 1st. It will be at Missouri the following weekend. And then it will finish off the season with its last two SEC series against Arkansas and against South Carolina. Those two will be extremely tough as well. So Tennessee baseball, solid baseball team, continues to get better under Tony Vitello. Is it up there with the Vanderbilts and with the Arkansas just yet? Right now, no. But season's not over, so we'll have to see exactly how much better and how much more this team can overcome. But this is a fun team, exciting team, and I look forward to seeing exactly how far it can still go this season. Boy, it's still a whole lot in front of this baseball team, and potentially it could be seeing Vanderbilt down the road. And if that happens, I'm looking forward to it. So Tennessee baseball continue to move on, and I bet you they will respond well. And, I responded well after some awesome weekends at BetOnline as well. BetOnline, fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football's over right now, but we're talking about baseball right now. Major League Baseball, the NHL, the NBA, it's all in full swing. You got some award shows coming up, the TV shows, reality television, all that stuff. You can find at BetOnline. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can possibly imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets. It's completely free to sign up. Head on over to the website or use that mobile device to sign up today. And when you do so on your first deposit, you're going to receive 50% in a welcoming bonus if you use the promo code LOCKEDON. promo code Locked On, 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So what are you waiting for? Stop waiting. Get in on that action. Head on over to betonline.ag. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. The Locked On Podcast Network is covering the NFL draft from every angle. Catch up on the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 podcast presented by Odyssey. You can follow Locked On NFL Draft and the Draft Dudes podcast for all the latest draft news as well. And stay tuned for more information about our live day one draft coverage that's coming up here in just a little bit. Again, that's the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021. You can listen on the Odyssey app, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. So basketball, so much to talk about last week. We did so on Friday with Ben McKee a little bit of the Swainovitz and of VolQuest.com. But a quick refresher, Brandon Huntley Hatfield, five-star forward, reclassifies into the class of 2021. Kennedy Chandler, five-star point guard. Jemiah Meshack, four-star combo guard. Can also play a little bit forward, he's a wing. Jonas Adu, four-star center. Quentin Debonjde. Oh, man, I had it last week, guys. Quentin Debonjde. Yeah, that's it. Three-star guard. So Tennessee continues to add and just to completely flip this roster, saying goodbye, of course, to Jaden Springer, Keon Johnson, Eve Pons, Devontae Gaines, Drew Pember's leaving, Corey Walker's left, EJ Anasicki's left, and welcoming in the likes of Huntley Hatfield, Chandler, Meshack, Adu, and Debunje. And of course, Justin Powell comes in, the transfer from Auburn. Tennessee still has two spots left as well. But probably the biggest move of the offseason was when John Fulkerson announced on Friday in a three-minute-long video done by VFL Films, as always, a tremendous job, that he was returning to Tennessee, taking advantage of that COVID year, that extra year of eligibility, and coming back for Tennessee to finish some unfinished business. So I'll go ahead and say this right here. I like to own when I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Now, just like with any story, just like with any prediction, things can change. I can sit here right now on April the 19th? Yeah, 19th. And I can say, I think Tennessee is going to go 6-6 next year. That's, you know, a couple injuries away from saying, okay, well, I think Tennessee might go 5-7 this year. Or I think right now Hendon Hooker will be the starting quarterback for the Tennessee Volunteers. That can change the second week of camp. Things change. I thought John Fulkerson was gone after seeing him leave the court against Florida senior day, the week before he got hurt. Senior day, seeing how emotional he was, how he left everything on the court. I thought he was not coming back. Now, things change. Look a week later. Omar Payne knocks him out of the ball game. John Fulkerson doesn't remember his last basketball game, doesn't remember anything about that basketball game. He has a face fracture. He has concussions. And John Fulkerson said on the Paul Feinbaum show on Friday that he didn't want to come back to school unless God sent him a sign saying that he should come back to school for one more year. Well, right in the face, John. I mean, right in the face. That's your sign. And that's what Sean Fulkerson said. Okay, that's my sign. I'm coming back. Unfinished business. I still have more to give to this university. So, number one, awesome. I never wanted John Fulkerson's time here at Tennessee to end on that. I'll just call it what it is. Actually, I don't want to call it what it is because I'm trying to keep it clean here. That was a sorry play. That was a cheap play, but he apologized. They buried the hatchet and moved on, whatever. Omar Payne will have that play with him throughout his career. That's sorry play. And that's Bush League is what it is. I'm glad John Fulkerson's not ending his career on that. So good for him. But what this does is you come back. You had a front court that was not good for Tennessee last year with John Fulkerson and Eve Pons. Fulkerson, an off year, slumping the majority of the year. He had some highs at the beginning of the season. He had some highs at the end of the season. But all that in between, not a whole lot of good basketball. Let's be real. He was in quicksand. He was drowning, it looked like. He was slumping for one reason or another. Rick Barnes continued to say, no one cares about it more. No one works at it more than John. So that's why it's heartbreaking and frustrating to see the way that it's going. But nonetheless, Tennessee's front court was not good. Uros Plavcic, Olivier Kumwal did not develop the way you thought they would. EJ Anasiki, his role, his minutes diminished as the season went on. So you're developing this front court now with Brandon Huntley Hatfield, with Jonas Adu. You've got Uroch, you've got Kumwal, and now you're going to add John Fulkerson back into the mix of that. Yes, will it cut down on some minutes for some of these young freshmen? Yes, it will. But that's okay. You're a young freshman for a reason. You need to sit back, develop, learn, and if you can come off the bench and give 11, or if you can start and play 22 minutes, and you can give everything you've got for 22 minutes or for those 11 to 14 minutes, good. Because John Fulkerson, though he slumped last year, we know what John Fulkerson can do, what he's capable of doing, and he knows how to play basketball for Rick Barnes. Now, you hope John Fulkerson's production's a whole lot better than what it was last year. Again, I get all that. He didn't have the best of years last year, and I'm not ignoring that. I'm not saying that, oh, John Fulkerson, SEC Player of the Year, is coming back. That's not the case. I thought those chants were a little overblown preseason last year as well. But point of the matter is, John Fulkerson knows how to play. John Fulkerson knows what to do for Rick Barnes. John Fulkerson knows this league. He's a veteran guy. I mean, hell, this is going to be a sixth year, okay? That's going to help Tennessee out an awful lot. He's going to, not only from a points perspective, from a defensive perspective, from all the intangibles of being a basketball player perspective, he is going to help grow DeBoon Jay, Huntley Hatfield, Adu, even those younger guys. I think Kennedy Chandler, at the point, will help John Fulkerson out so much. Okay? This is great news for Tennessee basketball. Great news. Now, we need to have the conversation, and I'm going to tease it here, but maybe we'll have it tomorrow or later in the week. It's something that we tried to get into on Saturday Sports Talk on the Sports Animal over the weekend, but it didn't really develop the way I wanted it to on the show. I'm going to be real with you, and I hope that you guys can chime in and maybe make it a part of Twitter Tuesday. That's tomorrow. Get those questions in whenever you want. But I'm going to introduce the topic here, and we're going to touch base on it at some point this week. And if you guys have input, tweet me, DM me, whatever the case may be. What are your expectations now for Tennessee basketball in 2021? I will tell you my expectations. Like, now, things can change, but I'll tell you my expectations when we pick this topic up later on, maybe tomorrow, maybe later in the week. But what should your expectations be? Because remember, the expectations were through the roof last year, through the roof, and you saw how well that worked out. Spoiler, if you slept through basketball season, it didn't. First round exit. Embarrassing season. But Tennessee has reshaped itself now to number two recruiting class in the nation per Rivals. It's going to be picked to finish in the top five in the SEC this year in basketball. It shouldn't be picked to win it, but it's going to be getting a lot of praise up there. It's got talent. It's got a whole lot of talent. And now it's got a guy like John Fulkerson coming back who has been there, has done that, and that's going to help an awful lot from an on the field on the court production and in the locker room and developing these young guys. So with everything that happened last week, plus the addition of John Fulkerson, what is your expectations for Tennessee basketball next season? And it's going to develop into a greater conversation on, you know, what should they be? And you know, when we look back at last year, did last year's team, was it overrated or was it underperforming last year's roster compared to this year's roster? A whole lot to get into. And of course, we can dive in on this on Twitter Tuesday if you guys want to as well. But that does remind me, Twitter Tuesdays tomorrow. Get in all your questions, Tennessee football, basketball, baseball, whatever they may be. And we'll come up and we'll talk a little bit about football to finish off this Monday show. But first, let me remind you guys about Built Bar. It's the best tasting protein bar ever. Ever of 18 amazing flavors, including nut and non-nut flavors, 6 new flavors. You got the 12 original flavors. I was talking to one of my buddies the other day. He was like, hey, I listen to your podcast. Do you actually eat these Built Bars? Because I want to know. I mean, it sounds really, really good. Do you actually eat that, or are you just saying that? Of course I eat these Built Bars. They're amazing. Why wouldn't I? It's my 2 o'clock pick-me-up each and every day. It is it's a protein bar that looks and tastes like a candy bar. It's 100% chocolate. Why wouldn't I be eating and tasting, you know, what I'm selling here on the podcast? Absolutely. And so I encouraged him to go to BuiltBar.com and to order some himself. BuiltBar.com and to order some himself. And I said, hey, when you're there, use that promo code LOCKED15 because you're going to get 15% off your order if you plug in the promo code LOCKED15. Guys, you've heard me talk about Built Bars. You've heard my flavor profiles. You've heard the Built Bar Madness Bracket Challenge on who you guys thought was what was the best tasting Built Bar and people around the country. Try it for yourself. Try it for yourself for real. I mean, it's perfect. It's that great little pick-me-up in the afternoon, little topper for your meal, whatever the case may be. It's healthy. It is low in sugar, high in protein, high in fiber, great for the keto diet. I can go on and on and on. But try it out for yourself. 15% off using LOCKED15 at BuiltBar.com. Check it out for yourself and tell me how you like it. BuiltBar.com. All right, guys, listen up. Today through the 26th, listen to the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 presented by Locked On and Odyssey, featuring analysis from NFL experts Michael Irvin, Jason LaConfora, and Brian Baldinger. Our local experts for every team make trades and pick the next stars for their team. You can search the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 on the new Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Odyssey, it's your home for all the sports, podcasts, music, and news that matters to you. That's Odyssey, AUDACY. Got a final segment here on a Monday show. Reminder, Twitter Tuesday's coming up tomorrow. Get those questions in. Tennessee spring football practice, basketball, baseball, whatever the case may be. At Locked On Vols, at underscore Kaner. I am Eric Kane, your host, and to conclude this episode of Locked On Vols, we'll touch base on a little bit of spring practice notes. So Tennessee had a second spring scrimmage. That was Saturday morning. It was closed to the media, and again, that was a big-time moving day scrimmage. That was the biggie. Yes, we've got the Orange and White game coming up on Saturday. By the way, if you're going to the Orange and White game on Saturday, let me know. Maybe we can meet up and hang out and talk a little shop as well. I'll be on the air that morning and from 2 hours up till kickoff. So you might be an early riser if I see you on campus. But nonetheless, let me know if you're going to the game because that would be pretty cool to meet up and hang out. But nonetheless, the big scrimmage of the spring happened on Saturday. It is when the coaches put in more game type situations, situational football, and stuff like that. Because I don't know exactly how Tennessee plans to do the orange and white game in terms of if they're going to split the team in half, if it's going to go straight offense versus defense. I'm not sure exactly what they're going to do. But a lot of times you split the team in half and you don't, you know, have ones working with ones all the time. And so nonetheless, Saturday was that big spring scrimmage. Okay, media was not there, but we did speak with Josh Heupel following the spring scrimmage, and he came out right out of the gate, and within the first 20 seconds of what he said, he wanted to say, hey, I just want to let you guys know in the first half of the scrimmage, this is quote, I'm reading a quote from Josh Heupel, first half of the scrimmage, I thought there was a ton of back and forth. Defensively, I thought their energy and effort in the second half of the scrimmage, the bar was raised, showed some really good results, I thought, without watching the tape, excuse me, the defense was a whole, made some strides today. I thought our front four did a good job playing with one another and playing on the other side of the line of scrimmage, being disruptive, getting after the quarterback as well. Tons of positive on both sides, but I wanted to mention that effort. So, Josh Heupel, why are you mentioning that effort on defense right out of the gate in your opening statement? Well, I mean, Tennessee fans, I'm sure, are saying right now, well, hopefully the defense played better. And it might have played better. I mean, I wasn't there, so I don't know. But I think Josh Heupel said that right out of the gate because he was also at that practice on Saturday, like me and a lot of you guys were. That open practice at Neyland Stadium last Saturday, he was there. He was watching. He saw just how bad that defense was. I mean, it was awful. And yes, there were some players that will be contributors and will be some starters for that defense. They were not practicing that day. I get it. I understand. It was not a full go. I don't want to say it's unfair, but I do get it. But boy, that was bad. That was real bad. And I think Josh Heupel, having watched exactly what we were watching, kind of realizes, and maybe hearing the talking head such as myself all week long saying, oh, that defense was awful. All that defense couldn't stop anybody. Defense didn't stop the offense one time. 20 going in situational football. Hey, that's me. I've been saying it all week. Maybe that was Josh Heupel coming out saying, hey, I hear you. I want to put this out here first. Maybe control my narrative a little bit. Defense, long way to go, but getting better. Personally, I think that's what it was. But nonetheless, it looks like Josh Heupel is pleased with Tim Banks's bunch and the progress that's coming from that bunch and just kind of where they are along that line. So a couple of other notes defensively from Josh Heupel. It's going to be a shorter segment here. A couple of other notes defensively from his press conference Saturday after that load scrimmage. On the defense, he said the secondary is the most mature and experienced on defense. Said they're gaining an understanding of technique and communication, that there's guys moving around back there position to position. We kind of knew that. The secondary front line, I like the first six they got. After that, you got to find depth. But you've got safeties playing at star. You've got stars playing at corners. They're trying to find a mixture of guys and cross-training a little bit in order to help them out. I like that. You saw Bryce Thompson play the star position a little bit last year as well. So that's probably a good move. Josh Heupel said that some things they're asking the defensive line to do is a little bit different from what they're accustomed to, what they've been asked to do in years past. Again, we've mentioned that with Rodney Gardner last week. He's noted that the group is buying into coaching, starting to play with better technique. Alignment is improving. Coming off the ball is improving. Huge strides have been taken with the defensive line. Well, that's good because, again, I was in practice Saturday and I saw what you saw. And we continue to hear more about Elijah Simmons and about how he's been the toughest guy to block. That was per Cade Cooper, Mays, and Jerome Carvin. We've heard from a couple coaches about Elijah Simmons, but nonetheless, here's a quote about Elijah Simmons. He said, "Since we've been here inside the weight room, he's been consistent. He's pushed himself. It matters to him. He's strong. He's explosive. He's got unbelievable ability to play with great pad level and play with active hands. When we get him onto the field, he's violent and disruptive. He jumps to the football. He's continuing to change his body to get himself right where he needs to be. He has a chance to be a special player and to have a special season." That was on Elijah Simmons. He's a guy that's been here for now going into his third season, and a guy that has been transforming his body to get where he needs to be. And he's a guy that's made a lot of impacts and some plays as well on the football field. So he's a mid-state guy. I think that'd be really neat to see if he could, make a considerable difference on that defensive line for Tennessee this upcoming season. But that was a couple of remarks from Josh Heupel from his Saturday press conference. Again, we'll continue to talk football. They will practice a couple times this week. Orange and white game will be on Saturday, and cannot wait to break it down the following week. We'll talk about what we saw and some things we need to see leading up to the Orange and White game. What do you need to see leading up to the Orange and White game? What do you want to see on Saturday? We're going to have all those conversations this week. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. All right, a Monday show is in the book. We talk baseball. We talk basketball. We talk football. We've been on the court. We've been on the diamond. We've been on the gridiron. We've talked with Tony Vitello's bunch, Rick Barnes's bunch, Josh Heupel's bunch. We've been very versatile today here on a Monday. It's been a whole lot of fun. Can't wait to talk with you guys again on Twitter Tuesday. Coming up tomorrow, @_Kaner, @LockedOnVols. Tweet me, DM me, all of your questions you want for Twitter Tuesday. Been getting great participation so far. Continue it, guys. It's a whole lot of fun. Anything you want. Doesn't even have to be about football. It can be about or sports. It can be literally about anything you want. So send me in those questions, and I can't wait to answer them. Locked On Vols is a part of the Locked On Podcast Network, wherever you guys get your podcasts each and every weekday morning when you wake up. Can't wait to do it again tomorrow, guys. But until then, have a great rest of your Monday, everybody.